Hey, this is Wayne.
And this is Ryan. And this is our podcast. So this week has been a good week, I think.
Made some progress.
Yeah. We finally named it.
Came about in a funny way because I don't know if anybody's tried naming something like this. I was telling Ryan we probably overthought it a little bit because you're trying to capture so many things in just a few words and probably doesn't need to be that. So we did come up with an interesting name.
It is. I think it is interesting. It was after a long brainstorming session, and we kind of tried to determine what the core is that we're trying to accomplish, or what the core issues are that impede us from doing what we're trying to do. And I think we go off on tangents a lot, or we'll get distracted, or we'll procrastinate on purpose. So we were thinking, well, if we're constantly going down a certain path, and then, we just keep veering off on one rabbit path or the other, how would we go about solving that problem? So we talked and talked and talked and threw words out and had all kinds of titles that come out, but then we go, well, I mean, tell them.
Well, I just something out of my memory banks about killing the rabbit. Seems to me I heard somewhere way back that there was a way in which they determined whether a woman was actually pregnant or not, was that if it killed the rabbit. And I don't know, we were getting kind of silly, and that just came to my mind, and I thought, kill the rabbit. And then we started talking about, well, we get on these rabbit trails, right? And I know I'm master of the rabbit trails. I've said before, I finally got to a point in my life where I realized that there were certain things that I had started, and somewhere in the process, it stopped. And I would look back and I'd say, wow, seems like it was about a year ago that I decided to try to do such and such, and then something happened. And so there's this long period of time in which I wasn't doing anything. And I think that really qualifies for this whole concept of rabbit trail. But
Well, the pregnancies, that is true, but they also had, they used frogs.
yeah.
So one of our first, had a business advisor, and he worked for Johnson and Johnson, and he worked on some of their original pregnancy tests, and they said they would use frogs to determine, and they would put urine on them, or it was some weird thing, but they, gave off this pheromone or gave off this chemical, and that determined whether a woman was pregnant or not. So they don't use frogs anymore, and I guess rabbits, I guess, was a thing too, but.
So as you can probably imagine, I was getting a little desperate, and we were both getting a little desperate for a name for this thing. But it really did kind of gel when we realized that what is it about getting serious that requires that you actually get maybe possibly violent? And of course, we're not talking about killing rabbits here, but what we are talking about is getting to a level of motivation that you actually blast through. Any particular rationale, justification that you have for not doing or not completing something. And the thing that dawned on me is I don't care what it is that you're attempting to do until the level of motivation gets to a certain, level, you're just not going to do it. You're not going to be motivated to do it. And so I think that's where I was coming from in it. Is that whatever we're going to do, if we say we're serious about it, then you have to get serious about dealing with the distractions.
Well, and that's why, so I mean, it is Kill the Rabbit. So our official podcast is now killtherabbit.simplecast.fm. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. It has a nice ring to it. It's kind of abrupt. But I feel like for that abrupt, for you to actually face and deal with an issue, that you're having in going off on rabbit trails, you really do need to deal with it head on. So it sounds violent, but I think it's better than like Beat the Rabbit or Outrun the Rabbit. Because then I think that brings about different connotations. So that's what it is. I really like it. I thought about prepending all of our previous episodes, but I don't think I'm going to do that just because this is more of an exemplification of us going through this process.
And for me, this past week has been kind of a disaster for me as in making any progress on my writing. However, I had an interesting conversation with the neighbor that I've been getting with on a weekly basis, and his encouragement to me was, there will be weeks like that, and what you need to do is just maybe just find a way to keep it fresh, even if it means just rereading what you wrote the day before so that it's fresh, it's in front of you. But don't beat yourself up because you don't put out the same level of work every week. Because those, life happens while you're trying to make progress, and things come up, whether it's somebody sick, or in our case, we've got a baby coming soon. My oldest daughter, Ryan's sister, is due to deliver a baby, and so there's been some things going on with that. There's been things at work,
Well, we had the flood
but
situation.
the flood, yeah, we had this torrential rain that just would not let up, and so it caused all kinds of problems. So life happens. Don't get too hard on yourself. That's what I'm trying to tell myself. And so I thought it was a really good piece of advice from my neighbor and friend to just keep it fresh. And so last night, even, I just sat down and I reread the things that I've written just to keep it in front of me. And even though I didn't really write anything new, so.
Well, I mean, it's been a good week for myself. I haven't had a job, or I have. I was working from home, but I wasn't driving into the office, so I'd kind of at my leisure was working, and then I got another job, which I start tomorrow, which I'm pretty excited about, and I'm nervous about it. So I tried so hard to get the job. I don't think you think about what it actually means when you get the job, or what's going to happen, or what's expected of you, or just, then all the nerves of everyone that's new that I don't know, and having a new boss.
Let me just say something to that. Now, you've had a nice little vacation in between your last job and this current job. And it's been a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah,
That
four or
you've been off.
five.
So here you are, vacationing, and now you're going to jump into it again. I think what happens sometimes, especially if you have a vacation that's a little longer than you're normally used to, you realize the benefit sometimes of not having too long of a period. I'm not saying anything against your vacation, but sometimes when you're playing for too long, it's hard to jump back into it, and so it takes just a little bit more energy to just say, okay, going to work tomorrow, going to jump into it, and not let yourself think about, oh.
Well, and you don't, so I am really excited about it. It's nice to be wanted. It's nice to be looked at for what your skill set is. The skill set that I'm going into is a Python intensive role. So that's kind of cool that I just learned Python not 4 or 5 years ago. And to be actually hired for that skill specifically is kind of cool. Something I learned in the market. So over the past 4 or 5 weeks that I've been literally just watching TV, haven't worked out, haven't run, haven't done anything.
Just been playing.
It's getting fat, and then watching TV. So I watched the entire series of Game of Thrones, watched the entire series of what else did I watch? Something else. So just like TV all the time. But after a while, being a creative mind, you start to you don't stagnate, but you start to feel like, okay, it's time to do something. So I started getting paranoid because I'm going to be starting this job, and I didn't want to like not know what I'm doing
Can you
when I
imagine
go
what it
in.
would have been like if you had been playing around for 6 months? You'd
Yeah.
be feeling totally worthless.
Well, there's some people that are out of work for 6 months. That's a real story. I mean, keeping sharp is definitely a
Sure.
necessity. So, and I was thinking about, since I left these old projects that I was working on, the company that I'm working with, it's slow. We have zero clients. We have two candidates still, but it's just such a hard field to break into, and I'm realizing that. Like, we're calling meetings off now because we're like, we don't have anything. So it's really frustrating. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to let my creativity or my honing my skill in preparation for this job and just for the general well-being of my skill set to die because someone else isn't responding to me.
Right.
So just because I'm not acquiring clients or that doesn't matter, right? So I was like, okay. I'm going to think of something small, and then as a small project, because that's kind of how I learn all my languages, just set up a small project and then go through the pain of creating it and then figuring out what are all the idiosyncrasies of this language or environment or framework or what have you. So I thought, well, I can utilize my wife, because my wife is. So Daniela is super crazy about utilizing every aspect of an application. Like, she'll pick an app up on her phone and she'll know the ins and outs of it completely without a doubt, or without, like, there's not one thing she doesn't know about it within weeks. And I've never seen someone do that. Like, I always pick my apps up and I'm like, okay, it does this, this, but I had no idea it did this. Like, she knows everything about Facebook, everything about Pinterest, and like all these things that I didn't. So she's such a, so I keep joking with her. I'm like, you would be an amazing quality. A QA tester for software, because you have to test the full bounds and the edge cases of software.
Right.
So I was like, well, why don't we do something together? So I started brainstorming, and she was watching a TV show on her phone, and I was like, okay, something cool, something for us together, so I can use like my phone and like her phone, and then I can like utilize like Python Django backends, and then some of this other like experimental libraries in Python or other languages that I want to start tinkering with, like computer vision and stuff like that. So then at the end of her show, I was like, babe, look at this. And I had like it all fleshed out. Like, I wanted a small project, but like the way that I'm wired, it never is a small project for
Right.
long. So I felt excited that I was actually like really invested in I did this wire diagram of everything and how it's all going to interface with each other. I built one of the applications like that night, and she was like, "Hey, do you want to go to sleep?" And I'm like, "I don't have anything to do tomorrow." No, I'm in the zone, like programming this thing. So it felt really good to be back on the horse and stronger than ever after I've decompressed and had all that time off, which I thought all the TV watching and getting fat wasn't really doing anything, but it was. Right, it was just like erasing or just flashing in the memory in my brain.
Sure.
So that's what I've been working on. So now it's actually turning into something that may be actually pretty cool. I don't know if I can sell it, but it'll be something, to tinker with. And I guess that's what I came to the conclusion of is that it doesn't matter about, like they tell you when you're an entrepreneur working for a startup, you need to find the MVP or the minimal viable product that you can put out into the market. So I took all those mindsets and all those podcasts that I've been listening to on entrepreneurship and doing a startup software company and threw it out the window. I was like, I want to do something that is fun and get back to the basics of what it is that I truly enjoyed about computer science, and that is doing things or making something do something, making a machine do something, make decisions on its own from my creation. And so that's kind of that felt really good for me to get back to those basics that I didn't, it's a way more complicated project than a small thing that I had envisioned. So that's what happened for me this last, and the funny thing is, I didn't know when I was starting my job. And then the day that I thought this up, that like within 2 hours, I get an email from the agent saying, "Hey, you're going to start next week." Or no, they had contractual problems, like some kind of issue with things that I don't understand. And I was like, "Man, I don't know how long this is going to go on," because it went on for 2 weeks. And so right after I came up with this idea, she said, "You're good." And if I hadn't had that time of decompression and really had time to like think about what was happening, I may not have come to that conclusion of, but it came from active brainstorming. That's another thing that I was going to say that I thought was really interesting. I was laying around at my house for 3 weeks, waiting for this idea to come to me, and it never did. And so like when I actively sat down and said, "Okay, I want to do something. I want it to be small for me and my wife, so I can use that her QA tester type personality, write something in Android and iOS," like then it came out. So like actively pursuing that had great results.
That's interesting. I think that I think what we're one of the things I'm getting from what we're both talking about here is there's that connection with the things that motivate you. It always seems to be going down the wrong path when we focus too much on the money or too much on I have to do something, and we lose touch with the things that we really enjoy doing, the things that breathe life into us. And so I think that was a really good thing that you realized that I really need to do something that excites me. And even though, like from my situation where I wasn't getting a lot done, there was a lot going on in my life, and it wasn't like I could look at any of the things that were tying up my time and say, "No, I'm going to choose to write." I couldn't. I had to do these things. I had to deal with them.
But your brain is processing things in the background.
Yeah, it was, and that was where I was going back to just saying, if you keep reviewing on a regular basis, hopefully daily, what it is you're trying to do, even if it's only for 10 to 15 minutes of just going over something, like I said, rereading what I wrote a day or two ago, just to keep things fresh, you don't realize that you're kind of continuing to sow the ground, so to speak. Your mind in the background is thinking about those things, and you don't even realize it. So that's good. That's good that you're.
Well, I mean, it's like the thing that we talked about before, where the easiest example for like non-software people is you're looking for your keys. So you're mentally like, that's not a good example. You're looking for like your red sock or whatever. You're like, "I can't find it. I don't know where it is." Try to retrace your steps, ask people where it is. No one knows where it is. You go to sleep. As you're sleeping, your brain is just working on it. Where was that retracing? And then it'll come to you later. For me, it's I'm working on a problem. My answer a lot of the times now that I'm an older developer is go to sleep, which sounds retarded because it doesn't sound like you're doing anything, but you banging your head against the wall and staying up till 5 o'clock in the morning, in most of my experience, creates more issues than not, because then you start like, "Why am I writing this code? I'm going to rewrite it to do that." Like you start screwing things up that aren't screwed up, and you're panic to fix this other problem. So like when I would go to sleep, my brain is still working on the issue, but subconsciously without the restriction of my conscious panic, or I feel like I'm drowning or I'm under a time crunch. Your brain doesn't care about that. You're asleep. So your brain is just actively working on something with the full potential of without having that distraction.
Right.
So I mean, maybe a lot of things are happening that because like I said, it's that creative process that's you can't really put your finger on it as far as trying to understand where it starts or ends or what agitates it or what gets it going or was it the TV watching? Maybe. Was it me actively brainstorming? Maybe. Was it me watching some movie where I saw something cool in technology that inspired me? I don't know.
I think that there's certainly benefit and we need to, you know, put together some goals and some structure to the direction you want to go. Friend of mine next door, with regard to writing, he set some goals for himself that he wants to achieve. And by the way, something to always remember with regard to goals: a goal is not necessarily where you will end up. It's merely a direction that you're giving your mind to move towards. Because as you move along, things will change, and that goal may change as well. But at least it gives your mind and your energy something to shoot towards. And so that's what he's done. He's kind of crafted some goals for himself as far as what he wants to accomplish in the way of his writing along the way. But I see it as something kind of dynamic and fluid that you may change as you see the need to, but you've got to have some kind of structure to work within, because there's always that danger of either being too hard on yourself or too easy on yourself. And having a structure to work within that you've agreed to, that this is a reasonable thing for me, that will help me get where I want to go, I think that's really important. So that's something that I need to do this week, and so I'm going to do that. Yes, it's been a tough week. I didn't get as much done, but I already see myself slipping back into old ways, which may easily get me to be 2 and 3 weeks down the road and having not done anything. So I need to...
But, I mean, you shouldn't get down on yourself so much, because I haven't done anything for 5 weeks, whereas... prior to that, maybe you weren't accomplishing anything. So, I mean, I think it runs cyclically. I think it's really nice to have that other person to bounce ideas off of.
Sure.
So, like, having him be able to come over and meet with you, and it's funny because it doesn't... You're thinking that... I was under the impression that it was going to take an hour, and you're saying you guys meet, and it's like 10, 15 minutes, and
a lot of times, and even this past time that I told him, I said, I don't have a lot to share with you. I didn't really do much of any writing. It's been a crazy week. But let me just tell you that there were two things that came out of this that were really helpful for me. One was that I knew I was going to be meeting with him.
Uh-huh. So you panicked.
And, no, well, a little,
no.
A little
did
bit.
You do the, did you cram stuff?
Well, I actually what I did was, because I knew I was going to be meeting with him, it really just keeps it up on the front, in the front of my mind. And even though... I knew I had to be honest and say, well, I haven't really done much of any writing this week. It's enough of a goad, enough of a kick in the pants to say, okay, all right, those things happen. Let's just continue to work at stuff. And that's when he shared with me, well, sometimes you just need to reread what you wrote the last time, you just to keep it fresh. And allow the, like you were saying, the internal... mind, you know, just kind of work on it, and you'd be surprised at how things will come to you as you just continue to keep it in front.
No, that's a good point. I think that having it every week, I think, is really a good thing. And I don't even, and like having it be something that inspires you, that you like to do, I think it's really important. Like, I don't even have the new system thing that I'm working on. I don't even put it on my calendar because I'm thinking about it all the time.
Well, and something else that comes to mind for me that has been my downfall in the past. In the past, when I haven't had somebody that I was going to be sharing, you know, and having to be honest with, it was easy to go down the rabbit trails or rationalize and whatever. I think it's been really refreshing to just know that I can be honest with this person and that I need to be honest, because if I'm not honest with him, I'm not being honest with myself. And that's been an encouragement to me to just say, okay, continue to be honest, but continue to keep the goal in front of yourself and keep working towards it. So,
well, that's a good point. So, I mean... this week, really good week. Named it. Killed a rabbit.
Can I just say, it doesn't seem like a lot of progress. See, for me, that was one of my, again, another downfall. If things went too slow, I thought that it was going nowhere. And from your encouragement and from my next-door neighbor, I'm getting a better sense of, no, maybe you're being a little impatient.
Well, you have to remember too. So for both of us, it's like I tell this to my wife a lot. So when my wife, all right, so when we first started dating, I was broke. I didn't have a job, and I didn't go to college. I did some classes, but just kind of doodling around. Honestly, in the beginning, it was probably more to meet girls because there were girls at college campuses, and I didn't have anything going on during the day because I was a waiter. So, excuse me. So when we first started dating, I was broke. So we would go to the movies. She had a job, so she would give me money to pay for her in front of her parents, so that I didn't look like a loser. So later on, I got a job, and she was broke because she was in college. So through this trend of our relationship from dating to marriage, like she's in her master's right now, and she feels horrible that she's not bringing in money, but I am. So I told her, I said, "Look, we're doing a slingshot effect," and she's like, "How does a slingshot have anything to do with anything?" And I'm like, "No, you're thinking about a slingshot in a traditional sense of the word, but in an astronomical sense of the word, a slingshot is a maneuver that a spaceship or shuttle or satellite undergoes, which involves the gravitational pulls of or the gravitational pull of various planets or solar bodies. So when you shoot something into space, it'll come into gravitational pull of a large planet and rotate around it. And as it does this, when you sling something around, I don't really know if that's the real concept that happens, it picks up speed. So as it's falling, as that gravitational pull is giving it a little extra push that you're not having to account for fuel-wise. So they'll turn the fuel off, and I'm probably butchering this, but just so you understand. And it flies around the planet, right? And once you get, and then it slingshots it out. So that's the concept that me and my wife do. So when I'm up, she's down. As soon as she graduates, she'll be making money. Who knows? Maybe we'll have kids and I'll quit my job and then take care of the kids. So in our slingshot effect, I'm up and you're down. But I was down for the last 5 weeks. So like having that and having that compensate our inertia, and keep it going as far as the show, like huge things. I came up with my new passion project. We determined a name. We put it online, so it's readily available to anyone in the world that types in killtherabbit.simplecast.fm. That's for real. So I think it's massive progress, and that's all that matters. So 1 week you're going to think we made a lot of progress, and I'm not going to think we did anything. But I think that's a nice to having that partner. So like where your neighbor thinks I made a lot of progress and you're like I didn't do anything, and then the next week you're up and he's down, and that it just keeps it going. So that's why I say, so that's what that's what me and my wife do, and that's what I think we're doing, and it kind of keeps it keeps the ball rolling, and because we have to, so kind of makes you push it. So I mean, I guess we're coming up on time. We'll so for next week, what are the goals for next week then?
Like I mentioned earlier, I need to establish some things to shoot for. That'll help me a lot. And I'm not sure. I'm not even going to try to put that out there at this point, but some type of goals that I'm going to say I'm going to try to accomplish to this, a chapter of a book of the book, or maybe certain concepts that are really giving me grief right now. There's a couple of areas in the writing of it that are I'm kind of stumped on, and maybe if I can make some progress on those. But I need to write those down. And so I want to do that and set some goals, because I don't want to just keep on without having those goals.
So, from a programming perspective, when I'm building an application, if I build it from start to finish, it will probably be horrible. Every piece of that software has a part that it plays. Consistently and concisely identifying what pieces are inside those parts and how they play in the application, and as it moves is crucial. So, like, you're writing a book, but you're not writing a book as much as you're writing a story about a collection of characters and a collection of worlds. Each has their own personality or things that they bring to the table. So what if it was identifying one character and truly fleshing out what's the impetus of this character, where did they come from, who do they interact with, what are their mentalities? Does that make sense?
That's really good. One thing that does come to mind as I'm listening to what you're saying, I was talking to my neighbor about this because I was sharing the very same things I'm sharing with you, that I've got a couple of areas that are just kind of stumping me right now.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is this. Everybody who's gotten into a little bit of writing and is thinking about writing a book understands the importance of the first page, several pages of the book that someone will read, and either they'll be interested enough to continue reading or they'll put it down and never pick it up again. And so there's this hook that has to be there that enthralls, you know, the reader.
Uh-huh.
One of the points that he made to me, and this really stuck with me, it may well be that you need to focus on another area of the book because that may come later.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to start from the front end of this and come up with that hook, and maybe I haven't built enough of the story yet to come up with something that's so intriguing and enticing that'll lure the person into wanting to read more.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some other areas of the book that I could focus on because I feel kind of pretty good about those. And as he said, it's very likely that the concept of this hook will, you know, materialize much more clearly in your mind as you move along, but you don't have to worry about that. He had mm-hmm. mentioned to me, he says, you know, on any number of books that he's written, he's ended up having to rewrite some earlier things in it completely because it didn't make the kind of sense that he wanted to, or it wasn't really what he was trying to say after he had finished the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. So I'm going to, one of my goals I think will be to just try to focus on an area of the book that I feel more comfortable with and not get so worried about what the hook ought to be.
Right. Because, I mean, there's intricacies or interesting characters that you haven't met yourself.
Right.
Right. Because they haven't come from your mind.
And I've struggled with the whole thing of character development in the main characters and trying to develop them in my own mind. It's a bit of a challenge. So,
well, I think it takes time.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that dynamic between the characters takes time. So that's good. So then, for me, I'll keep working on my company, pushing, and then keep working on the passion project. Start my new job.
Yeah, you're gonna have a challenge this week with that new job, and then that's gonna be a lot of.
Hopefully, that good. I think I'm really gonna like it. But it's nerve-wracking because you wonder, because it's that question of what are their expectations, what are my expectations, how are things really going to work out? So that's what I'll work on the passion project mostly, since, you know, my business kind of depends on other people, and we haven't really. I think it's like if you're in the movie business, you have to be in the business. And the more you're in the business, the more people you know, and the easier it is for you to get a film made. Whereas we're not in the business. So we're still trying to make cold calls, trying to get somebody to give us a chance. We even, one of my partners decided, let's just do the first placement for free. Which I was like, that sounds crazy, because we're not going to make any money. But, you know, maybe that's just what it's going to take. But I think good stuff. Naming the podcast was a huge deal, and we did it. So that's all for me this week, and then we'll talk next week. And that's it.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye.